morning with me in studio, man, I got a guest that we've interviewed before, long distance we've interviewed before. Today we want to praise God that she's alive in the flesh.
Yes.
In the studio. Her name, and don't get me right, is it Taisha? Or Taisha.
That's correct. Taisha.
Taisha Holt. And she's here with us all the way from Texas. And let's talk about Texas, man. I want to know. We played Kirk Franklin, who's from Texas as well. And I spent some time actually with his family in Texicana, Texas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. His uncle was my treasurer at my church.
Oh,
when
nice.
I passed it out there, yeah. But nevertheless, Texas, man. Tell us a little bit about Texas. I know about Dallas, but I don't know about Houston is big.
Yes, Houston is big. I lived in Houston for 3 years, but I came from Dallas, Texas.
You came from Dallas?
Yes, that's okay. Where I came from.
Okay,
yes,
now the only thing we know about Dallas is that we saw a lot of shooting sometime years back of people who looked my color.
That's still very accurate.
It does. Yeah.
That's still going on.
So tell us about Dallas, man. It's a massive city.
It is. It's always very busy and loud. I was telling Mr. Tony on my way here when I came from the airport that it's so quiet here driving on the roads and down the street. It's so quiet. In Texas, it's always loud.
Yeah.
It's always something going on.
Yeah. Now, the other thing about Texas I do know, man, is that they have good food.
Yes. They do.
They took me to a place. Was it called the Golden Corral?
Golden Corral? Really?
Yeah. Was it Golden Corral? One of those
buffets. That's the best place you could come up with. Golden Corral.
No, the buffet thing. You could sit there and eat everything you want to eat.
No, but you have to come back and I got to take you to some other places.
Now, they took me to a soul food place.
What was the name?
I can't remember off the top. But it had
Medea's, Sweet Georgia Brown.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Sweet Georgia Brown sounds familiar. It was a Sunday after church, and we rode in there, and all the church folk were there.
Yes, and it was a line outside Dallas.
Yeah.
Yes, that was Sweet George
Brown.
Listen,
the best collard greens. Come on now, Sweet
Did
potato.
You have the corn?
Oh, did I have the corn?
Yes.
Did I have the corn?
Yeah, it was Sweet George Brown.
Don't talk about that fruit punch that they lined up.
Oh, yes.
And they had some lemonade in there. But I tell you, make you slap everybody
you know.
I'm telling you, man. What food? What food? I can't tell the folk on here that what I was eating because some of them are Adventists and they're all vegetarian.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I don't want to go into all of that. but what I was eating used to fly. Yeah, used to fly.
Well, used to.
Yeah, it stopped flying. By the time it made it way to my plate, it stopped flying. Yeah. Anyway, but Dallas is, every time I've been there, it's been sunny.
Yes. Well, right now we're dealing with a lot of storms.
Oh, really?
So there's a lot of storms on my way coming out. My flight was actually delayed due to the weather.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So let me tell you guys, before we get too deep into our conversation, how do you get hold of us this morning if you want to have a conversation with us? We are live, like I said, on social media. So feel free to be a part of that with us. We're on Facebook. I'm trying to open it up big enough so we can see ourselves. Yeah, okay. We're on Facebook. So I need to do this, and I need to do this thing right here, and then that should give us some kind of come to me, guy. Don't play with me. It's going slow, but we get to that. And I also am on Instagram, we are p.ray4u is where we at, and but I will post it on Adventist Radio London once we're done. So feel free to be a part of that whole conversation with us. Also, I want to say, if you really want to get in touch with us, you can get us on WhatsApp, and it's 07459642898. 07459642898. Any one of those mediums will get to us, and we will be happy to have a conversation with you. I'm telling you, it's going to be real. It's going to be exciting.
Yes.
And it's going to be quite a lively conversation. So don't touch the dial. Be a part of what we're doing. So we talked about Dallas, which is not the best place to start with the interview. Taisha, tell us a little bit about you. Now, if I were walking down the street and I met you, what is the thing that you want me to know the most about Taisha?
the thing that I want people to know the most about myself is just how much I'm head over heels in love with Jesus.
Amen.
That's it. Everything else, you can figure it out. But that's the main thing, just my relationship with the Lord and how much I am just in love with who he is.
Right, right, right. You're head over heels.
Yes, madly, madly.
Okay. So now, when you're not, this don't sound right. It's, I was going to say, when you're not in love with Jesus, or when you're not doing church, or when you're not, what do you do for downtime?
And that's the thing. I'm learning how to have downtime. So sometimes, yeah, how to balance, because all I want to do is study. Yeah. All I want to do is praise and worship. But I'll play some basketball sometimes. Okay. I will, you know, watch some TV. I'm a very, my friends say I'm very boring because I don't do anything. I'm a homebody. So I don't do much. Watch some TV. I'll read, play basketball, work out, just the basics. Yeah. Nothing major.
Okay, okay. So the basics, nothing major.
Nothing major.
It sounds to me like, basketball I love anyway.
Yes,
I love glued into the NBA at the moment because of the playoffs. And I was watching the Mavericks and the Timberwolves go at it this past week. And boy, what a game, what a game. Timberwolves came back. I don't
know. Yes, they did.
So it was 3-1. I don't know. Today's the final game, right?
Oh, no, the Mavericks won.
Oh, they won.
They're going to the finals.
Oh, spoiler,
yes,
spoiler.
They are going to the finals.
You don't spoil me. Spoiler.
They are going to the finals against the Celtics.
The Dallas Mavericks.
Yes, sir.
Going to the final.
Against the Celtics, yes.
You
they
know,
made
man,
it.
But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this for free. You got a guy on that team, the white guy. What's his name?
Luka.
Yeah,
Luka.
This guy. What a player. Is he Polish?
That I don't know. Yeah. I don't follow the NBA as much.
I mean, he's the MVP for the year.
That I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. He got to be. I mean, the guy's brilliant. The guy's brilliant, man.
I didn't watch him play this year.
Nah, he good. And alongside him is Irvin.
Curry, yep. Kyrie.
That guy. I mean, he took a lot of flack for his stance on a whole lot of things. But you know what? He's showing up in the big games, man. I got time for him, man. So you're an avid study of the word.
Yes.
You're trying to balance that with, you know, all the other things in life. You talk about TV and maybe a basketball every now and then.
Well, not so much balance. I just don't enjoy doing anything else.
Nothing
really excites me outside of church and the word. But I know it's healthy to learn how to have other hobbies outside of the Bible and church. Yeah. And so it's not so much of balance, because I'm single with no kids. Yeah. I don't have to have balance. I just have to live. You know, I have a very free life.
I can
wake up and do what I want as long as the Lord allows me. So it's more so of just being able to relate to the world and always just talking about Bible and always just talking about church. Sometimes it's hard to relate to people when you do that.
Interesting. I like that. Yes. I like that. So listen, man. So you are here.
I am.
And you have landed. Before I get into what we really want to talk about today, I want to know what you think of this country so far.
So, well, when I got here, I had jet lag. So I've been asleep.
Are you serious?
The people, what I can say about the people, because I haven't done much sightseeing. This is my second day here. The people, I really enjoy watching, hearing you guys speak. And I've learned a few words that we say in America that has a totally different meaning here.
Okay.
But for the most part, the people have been great.
Yeah.
I love the way you guys speak and just interact with each other.
Yeah.
As far as just sightseeing and everything, it reminds me of San Antonio.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, San Francisco. I'm
San Francisco,
sorry.
Yes.
San Francisco.
Yes.
It reminds me.
Yeah,
I
that
think
kind
it's
of climate.
Because the build.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And you wouldn't be shocked to know, but a lot of San Francisco has been taken from here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the way
so maybe
the city,
that's why.
The narrow roads, the climate, well, the climate, that's different, but the whole way the city is run is like a Little England kind of thing. Yeah,
okay.
Little England. So nothing has surprised you so far?
Not at all.
Okay, yeah, we walk on our legs, amen.
Yes. well, sitting on the driver's side of the car and the passenger side, I didn't think about on my way here. Mm-hmm. So that has been interesting driving.
Yeah.
And sitting on the opposite side of the road.
Sure. On the opposite side of the road. You know, when I lived in, because you know I lived in America for a long time. So, but when I lived there, that was a big thing for me, was to be able to switch over.
Was it a hard transition?
It was a hard transition.
Really?
Yeah. Because I remember, you know, I flew into Alabama, which is where I went to university. So I flew into Alabama. And when I got there and the taxi picked me up at the airport to take me to the college, I was like, what on earth is this?
Yeah, it feels like all the cars are coming towards you.
Yeah. But I stopped for a moment and realized. And then when I started driving myself, then it became a bit more difficult, especially at roundabouts and things like that. It became very difficult. But nevertheless, I'm sure as you stay here a few more days, you will realize that there are some strange things.
Oh, yeah. We're going sightseeing today, so I'm sure. Yeah. And then the parking, you guys can squeeze in the most tiniest places.
Yeah, that'll make no sense.
Yes.
That'll make no sense. You know, when I lived in America, I always had a driveway that, you know, I drove into. Or if I was downtown, you know, the spaces would be big.
So they don't have driveways here? It's just street parking?
Well, you know, I got to be careful here. There are people in London, particularly, most of it is street parking because they are struggling for space. There's millions of people living in a very small space. But there are people, you know, who live in nice homes that have driveways.
Yeah.
You know, I have a driveway, you know. But it's not because I'm anything special. I just live in a private area where you drive in and you park and you're off the road.
Okay, yeah. Mr. Special.
No. I'm just saying. But nevertheless, yeah, so anything that surprises you, man, just make sure you note it down.
Okay.
So when you go back, you can tell the folk over there, man, I went to England and I saw this.
Okay.
And it was my first time in Times Square. I saw this man with a playing a guitar naked in the street.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't remember. They have a name for him. He's always in Times Square, apparently. But I had to, compose myself. I had the young people with me from school.
Oh, really?
And so I had to say, whoops, let's go this way. But London, and when you go down into the city of London, you're going to see
a lot of people.
Sights.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll be on the lookout
for it. Strange sight. And, but keep, stay focused. Amen. Stay focused. So Taisha, man, let's have this conversation, man.
Yes, sir.
Last time we spoke, you told us a little bit about your journey. So for those that that don't know your journey, give us a little bit of what that journey looked like. Because I'm looking at you now, and it's hard to believe that was where you came from.
Yes, sir.
Give us that journey. Where did it begin? We're talking about the homosexual lifestyle. We're talking about the whole idea of same-sex relationships. For want of a better term, LGBTQ plus whatever else they got after the names now. You mentioned the last time you were here, in the closet.
Yes,
what
sir.
That look like.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to give you the mic.
All right.
Any way you want to go on any of those subjects.
Okay.
Now I'm going to butt in because I can't let you talk for too long.
Yes, sir.
I like to hear my own voice.
Okay.
Amen. I'm very
I like
honest
to hear your
about
voice
that.
Too.
Yeah. Tony D, don't. See, listen, man. Tony D's in the studio for those that are listening by radio. And by that, I mean Tony Davis from Chiswick Seventh-day Adventist Church. So you know where he is.
Yes.
Okay. And he's just shaking his head like I'm doing something wrong. And Mark is on the other side. Now, this is a problem. This two situations is a problem. Look, he's coming closer.
He pulled your card.
He gave me a red card. He gave me a red card, man, on my own show. So anyway, Taisha, talk to us, man. Tell us a little bit about
it. Okay, so I will start off by saying I recognized I had a same-sex attraction in third grade. Of course, I didn't know how to articulate that to my mom or even myself on what was going on, but I recognized I had a same-sex attraction towards women. Of course, I kept it a secret, but I observed certain women, and I also just began to think there was something wrong with me. After experiencing a lot of heartache and pain from my dad walking out on me, that caused me to really view men in a very skewed manner, as far as looking at all men as he was, and that was abandoned women, abusing women, just alcoholics, and just not being a good role model of a man. And so for me, I viewed all men in that same light. And so with having a same-sex attraction, of course, all my attention went to women. I was in the closet from third grade to seventh grade. Now, there was things that happened in between that time, as far as older cousins introducing me to inappropriate videos and teaching me how to perform, you know, certain inappropriate acts with them, my older cousins, which were girls. And I think that also kind of piqued my interest more on wanting to explore my same-sex attraction deeper. Once I got into seventh grade, that's when I began to actually have relationships with other girls at my school.
Okay, so seventh grade is what age group in the UK? What age group were you at that time?
If I had to guess, I want to say
11, 12.
No, maybe 13, 14.
13, 14.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, because you have middle 13, school, 14. Don't you?
Yes.
You got
yes,
a middle
sir.
School and then you got a high school. Yes. Yes. Okay. 13, 14.
Yes.
Okay. And then you had relationships.
Relationships outside of family members, because my family members, my older cousins who were left to take care of me and babysit me, we were actually doing inappropriate things that involved homosexual behavior.
Sure.
But they were just my family members.
Yeah.
And so once I got into school, and I've always dressed like a boy. I dressed like a boy since I was in kindergarten.
Wow.
And a lot of people just thought I was a tomboy, or they thought I just liked sports. So no one corrected what I was wearing. Mm. They just allowed me to continue to wear the boy clothes.
It's a man. Hey, I was in a church just recently, and they were introducing a young lady.
Okay.
Who was about to do something on the platform. And they said this. They said that she has brothers, and she's like the fourth brother.
Oh, wow.
Because she's a tomboy, and she plays just as hard as they play. And I sat there, and I remembered the interview with you, and the fact that we don't correct certain things, and then we call them. So, you know, she got brothers, and now she's just another brother.
Because even when you think about the word tomboy, what is it saying?
Yeah.
You know, it puts you in the category as boy more than girl.
Exactly.
And so they'll gravitate more towards the characteristics that they're getting complimented on, which is tomboy, when she may just be a cool girl who likes sports.
Yeah, fact.
And so for me, you know, a lot of people didn't know what I was struggling with, because I didn't know how to articulate that I had a same-sex attraction. Mm. So me wearing boy clothes from kindergarten all the way up until middle school, and women started to become attracted to me, I began to explore.
Yeah.
And those were the relationships took place. So I spent 13 years when I fully knew that I was living a lifestyle of homosexuality.
Wow.
And that was a journey that didn't turn out how I wanted it to.
Right.
Yes. So I just got into the lifestyle because I wanted to date women, but I had no idea the shift that I had to take place mentally in order to adjust to the environment that I was stepping into.
Right. Right. Now, hold on a second. Now, let's do a backtrack. So in kindergarten, you started wearing boy clothes.
Yes.
You were, in quotes, a tomboy. So you played the sports and all the stuff.
Yes, I love basketball.
Did.
Yes.
At the same time, you were having inappropriate relations with older
girl cousins.
Cousins.
Yes.
Around middle school age, you started to have your own relationships outside of your family.
Yes, sir.
And then, of course, that led to the world is your gamut.
Yes.
As far as same-sex attractions and relationships.
Yes.
Did you at any point feel that I just need to get myself together and be straight? Or did you feel that the homosexual lifestyle was what was normal for you?
At that time, I didn't know what homosexuality was.
Okay.
I didn't know what gay was, so I didn't have anything to compare it to, gay or straight.
Okay.
I just knew I had an attraction to women, and I never had an attraction to men. And so I just thought it was natural. I just thought it was something that I liked. I knew it was different because I didn't see other women in relationships with other women in my family or when I would go to school. I wouldn't see it. I would always see people with men and women.
Right.
So I didn't never compare myself to say, do I think I'm straight? Do I think I'm gay? I just thought I was born that way.
Right.
And this is who I am. And this is who I want to be. So I need to explore this to try to figure out how do I live this out.
Now, hold on. You said you think. You were thinking that you were born that way.
Yes.
And that's key. That's key. Because most of the people I know tell me, I was, I am.
And I believe I was for a moment. I did, until I understood what triggered me into leading into that lifestyle and what actually made me believe that I had to go into the lifestyle.
Good.
There was something that triggered that emotion.
Right. So now this is good. I like this right here. Oh, this is so good, man. This is good. This is good. This is good. I like this right here. Why are people trying to do things while I'm trying to be on air? Theo's got comments he's sending you already. Theo, we're going to deal with you, man. These guys trying to give me a hard time. But listen to this. Listen to this. So you were not aware, but yet you were having relationships with the same sex. The question I have for you is it possible, because I know I can hear people asking that question, to be 14 years old and older and not be aware that it's unnatural?
That it's unnatural?
Yeah, to have a same-sex attraction.
I can speak from my personal experience.
Sure.
Yes, because if no one is around you teaching you and helping you understand what it is, then you think it's a natural thing, because a lot of times we only hear that it's a sin.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
But it being a sin doesn't explain to me why it's not natural for me. And because same-sex attraction is a real emotion. There was a real emotion that I had and I recognized in third grade. Now, homosexuality, that's a learned behavior.
Yeah.
So those are two different things.
Yeah.
So for me, for someone to tell me I don't feel how I feel, you can't tell me that because I know what I feel.
Yeah.
But you can explain to me, if I move farther with this feeling, the consequences that come behind it, and I didn't have anyone around me to help me understand what my attractions were or what the lifestyle I was stepping into. So I just thought it was natural because nobody corrected me. Even with dressing like a boy, I knew I was different from most girls, but nobody corrected me. Nobody helped me understand what I was doing was wrong.
Right.
Everyone just called me a tomboy.
Tomboy.
Everyone just said she rough.
Yeah.
She likes to play just like the boys, you know, but they didn't understand I wasn't just playing a sport. I was trying to become the boys that I was playing with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and I think that's a great clarification. So they're people that play the sport, and they're female, but they want to be LeBron James.
Right. There you go.
Yeah, they want to be
sir.
LeBron. But there are people who want to be females, who want to be a boy.
Right.
And vice versa. They want to be a girl. And I think that there's a difference there. So if you're, like you said before, if you're a young lady and you play a sport, you're a young lady and you're playing a sport.
That's it.
And 9 times out of 10, you go and get a pat on the back because you're just as good as the boys. But
that's
you're
right.
a young lady playing a sport. And you're not trying to be the boys
right.
or like the boys. You're playing a sport. All right. I'm another question that came into my head as you were talking. And this is before conversion, where you walked away from that lifestyle. At any point, did you think it was wrong?
I didn't. During the time I was in homosexuality, I felt no personal conviction. I mean, you have a sense that something is wrong because God doesn't create anything he doesn't speak to, right? But I didn't know
I didn't have
a relationship.
Just said, I need to shout on that one.
Oh.
God doesn't create anything
he doesn't speak to.
Oh! Hallelujah! Sorry, just had to say that.
So I had a sense that something was wrong, but I didn't know how to respond to that conviction. I didn't know I was feeling conviction because in my lifestyle of sin, I was very successful.
Yeah.
I didn't have a bad journey in homosexuality. I got every girl I wanted. I got a family that was way better than the family that I was born into.
Hold on. You sound like one of my friends who's sitting in the room. You got every girl you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was.
He looked away. He looked away at the appropriate time. He looked away. Mark, how you doing, man? You good?
Yeah, good. Well, how
good,
things?
Good. I made a comment.
Oh, he got all the girls?
Yeah, oh!
I don't know.
What?
The red card? Do we need the red card?
Thank you.
The red card. We got it. We're having fun. All right.
Hold
okay.
On. Hey,
we're
Taisha,
back.
Taisha, I don't appreciate you giving out red card.
I don't even know what it means. I don't know what it means.
In soccer, a red card is when they eject you from the game. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so, we'll bring you back.
Yeah, bring me
no,
back.
We'll bring you back.
No. Just keep that. Just keep
okay,
that.
Every time.
And Paul is going to be the referee that brings out the cards.
No.
And Paul, Mark, what? Mark, I just said
you
remind
stay.
Me of someone
yeah,
who's in the room. I just said in the room. That's all. Does it remind me of somebody? Because she said she got all the girls.
Yeah.
That's all. Paul said he's gone.
So I'm exiting the building.
He's exiting the building.
Yes.
So anyway, I just had to make a comment so
yes.
we can get back on track now. Thank you, Mark.
No, but I didn't. I felt no conviction. I thought I was born this way. This is natural to me. I was successful in my sinful nature. I was successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had everything I thought I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, I didn't feel any conviction.
Can I talk to you about that?
Yes, sir.
And outside of homosexuality, about being successful in our sinful nature. I mean, that's a shout right there. I just feel like jamming again. Because that right there suggests that the enemy will make you very successful.
Oh, yes.
That you could even believe that you're doing the right thing.
Yes. Mm. My.
Mm. I feel a shock.
For myself, I was saying I'm going to be the best gay person ever.
Wow.
Because I would hear the stories of other people not being accepted.
Wow.
And that was never my story.
Wow.
I was always accepted. But I later found out it was because I was operating in an unclean spirit that
yeah.
taught me and trained me how to manipulate people
mm.
that didn't like homosexuality, or they maybe were homophobic, or they didn't understand the lifestyle, or they just hated the person that was in it. And so I trained myself to manipulate people's feelings and emotions
mm.
towards what they thought about homosexuality.
Wow.
And so for me, I was not the normal gay person that people were used to,
mm-hmm.
but they had no idea that I was just playing off what they didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get into their world
right.
and just understand what they didn't like.
Right.
And so I can play on their weak emotions.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Stick a pin for a moment. Listen, guys, we're live here, Taisha Holt and myself. We are enjoying ourselves talking about this subject, but more than that, talking about God.
Yes.
And how he's able to transform. In this process, we want you to be a part of. So feel free. We are live on Instagram now on Adventist Radio London and Facebook Adventist Radio London. You can get us on WhatsApp 0745-964-2898. Any one of those mediums will get to us. Send us a message. You can actually see what Taisha looks like on Instagram and Facebook. So chime in there. You may be totally surprised because she looks extremely feminine to me. She doesn't have the baggy
yes.
clothes, the male clothes. I told her she looked like she's in the Navy with a blazer and a look very good, man. Very good. Let's look at some of these. Selena says, talk the talk. She's agreeing with what you're saying. Theo is saying, good morning. Again, I say, Taisha, you did an amazing job at Chiswick SDA Church yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up the good work. Our paths will cross by God's grace soon. I am sure. Yes. SEO from, he's my cousin, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to baptize him very soon. He's converting.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, this guy.
No. I think you need a red card again.
Hold on a second. I think you need a red card again.
I don't know about this.
All the way from Dallas and give me a red card. And we need to talk to Jehovah.
They gave me permission.
They gave me permission.
Yes.
What they didn't do was give you, they should have warned you before you came in the studio. So listen, man. I didn't say listen, man. Listen, Taisha. Let's get it correct. You're having same-sex attractions. You can have all the girls you want to have. How did you? I mean, was it a case of coming out the closet, or were you always out the closet?
For me, I never had a coming out the closet experience. And I believe it was because, like, I've never made an announcement.
Right.
And I believe it was because everybody always thought I was gay just because the way I dressed. So they already put me in the category. Mm. It wasn't until I started to call myself gay whenever I got into same-sex relationships. Mm-hmm. So I never had the aha moment where I was like, I'm coming out, I'm gay. It was just people saw me with girls or saw me kissing girls or saw me in relationships, and they would always say, I knew it. I knew you were gay.
Yeah.
Because I had a boyfriend in junior high, and I still dressed like a boy. So I was in a relationship with him.
I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yes. You were dressed like a dude.
I was dressed like a boy.
And you had a boyfriend.
I had a boyfriend.
Touch him in Jesus' name.
We played basketball together. We had an amazing relationship. It was like a bond. It was a friendship. Very kind guy. But he was my protector.
Okay.
So he was like a cover-up for me, which I didn't know at the time as well. He got in trouble because girls would try to talk to me while I was with him. And he would always say, she's not gay, she's not gay. And in my mind, I would say, I am, but I'm with you, so you can keep defending me.
Yeah.
So he got in trouble. His mom made him move with his dad. When he left, that's when I just started to date girls out in public. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a coming out moment. I just showed up with a girl.
Okay. Okay. Because, you know, that closet situation is a scary place.
Very scary.
And I remember you spoke a bit about that. About what happens in the closet.
Yes.
I don't know if you want to elaborate on that.
No problem. Because a lot of times we focus on a person coming out. We know what coming out the closet looks like. And it looks like a celebration. Mm. You know, you got a lot of rainbow colors. You got a lot of entertaining names and pronouns that comes with coming out. Mm-hmm. But it's really a sign of surrender. Because in order to come out of a closet, you first have to feel trapped in one. Mm-hmm. So my focus is not to really understand what coming out means, what happened in that closet.
Yeah.
And for me, it was one of the most torturing experience that I've ever had to deal with in my life outside of conversion, you know, but a third grader battling with a same-sex attraction, and they're very aware of it, but they don't know where it came from. They didn't ask for it. And they're praying and begging God, take this away, take this away, take this away. And nothing is changing. Nothing is happening. You don't know who to talk to about this situation. So you're sitting in your own feelings, but you're observing the world and how the world works. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that you're different. Something is wrong with you.
Right.
And the only time it feels like you feel some type of comfort is when you start to adjust to what you know is wrong, but you just don't know why it's wrong because the feeling feels so natural to you.
Yeah.
But it was very tormenting because that's the only thing I could think about. That's the only thing that I felt. Even when I looked at myself, I didn't see girl. I would always see boy. Mm. And so, of course, mentally, my mind goes through a state, God, you made a mistake because you did this.
Yeah.
You made me feel this way. I'm a third grade baby girl.
Mm.
I don't know what homosexuality is.
Right.
So why do I have attraction towards women?
Mm.
You had to do this, God. You know, and so just sitting with that emotion by myself from third grade to seventh grade, all those years, that was very tormenting. And the only way I found relief from it was to just give to it and just say, I am gay because I've done everything to try to ignore this emotion, to try to separate myself from what I feel, but I can't do it.
Mm.
And even God himself didn't take it away.
So let's go deeper than homosexuality. And let's think about the man or woman who's sinning consistently. And they're thinking to themselves, I'm already doing it. I'm good at what I'm doing. So I might as well just continue. And that mindset is probably the most difficult mindset to break.
Yes.
Because it's like, I'm good at this.
Right.
And I'm successful.
Right.
And people like me.
Right.
You know, and all those kinds of things. And that's a very, very big point. And I want people listening to know that it's not only a homosexual thing.
Right.
You know, what you're describing is life.
It's life. Yes, sir.
And habitual sin. Even when you, you know, and we do things, even in the body of Christ, where we don't even realize that it's sin because we've done it for so long.
Yes, sir.
And even when someone would try to correct us, or even when we should just ordinarily think that this is wrong, because we've done it for so long, we bought into the whole idea.
Right.
Then guess what? We just carry on saying, you know what, man, it's good. It works for me.
It becomes your nature. That's who you are.
Break this, do this, you know, do whatever.
I like what you said before. You said a person that says, I'm good at this. I'm in control of this. Mm-hmm. This is what I do.
Yeah.
And I'll tell a person, if you're in control, stop doing it for a week.
100%.
And let's see who's in control.
Yeah.
Let's see who's in control. Because if you're in control,
that
means you can start it and stop it when you want to.
Yeah, and you can't do that.
But you'll learn that you have no control when you decide to stop it.
Yeah, because the rest is not against flesh and blood.
There you go, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
Shout coming.
Which is unseen. Yes.
Before I gotta go to another music break, but I wanna make this point here, and this is important. In the body of Christ, we assume that this is happening outside of the church. I want you to speak to, and I don't know if you have any ideas or thoughts on this, speak to those those of us who are ignorant of the fact that it's happening inside of the church.
Right.
Where I did a program at Chiswick some time ago, and we had this app, I don't know if you'd use it yesterday, where people could anonymously send in their questions. Mm-hmm. And there was we had three people that came in and said that they had homosexual tendencies. And it's a struggle for them and church and all that kind of stuff. And so speak to that. Speak to those you know, who, those of my age group or maybe older, who are ignorant of the fact that there are homosexuals inside of the church.
Yeah, and I think that is a personal, because we know it's present in the church,
mm-hmm.
but we intentionally ignore it
right.
because we're not educated enough to approach it mm-hmm. properly in love outside of just attacking the person
right.
and saying, oh, you're living in sin.
Yeah.
I'm sure that person knows because like we said in the beginning, God doesn't create anything he doesn't speak to.
Right.
So I'm sure they feel something, but can you correctly approach this person and handle them with love so they can understand the decisions that they're making. Mm-hmm. So I just believe a lot of people within the church choose to intentionally ignore that it is within the church so they didn't have to put themselves in a position to address it because they don't know what to say outside of it's wrong. Okay, we're past that.
Yeah.
We know it's wrong.
Yeah.
So what else? How can you show me the way out?
Yes.
God, the word says all temptation is uncommon to mankind. And he always provides us a way out.
Mm-hmm.
So if I come to church and you see something and you don't say something,
come on.
I don't think the person battling with homosexuality has the real problem.
Yeah.
We have to educate ourselves enough to be confident.
Love it.
To walk in our authority
that
God has given us, but we have to do it in love.
Yeah.
And if we don't have the knowledge, the only way we can approach a person is in not love.
Yeah.
And just tell them that they're wrong.
They're totally wrong.
So I think it's just we have to stop ignoring what we see, just like growing up. So many, the worst part about my story was not that I was gay, was not that I was abused as a child, was not that I became an evil monster within this community. It wasn't that. The worst part was that it took so long for someone to say something to me, to speak biblical sound truth into my life.
Yeah.
No one said anything. I had no idea in Deuteronomy 22:5 that it says, a man should not dress like a woman, a woman should not dress like a man. It's detestable. Even though it's talking about the characteristics and read in the right context. But when I put on boy clothes, I'm not acting like a woman in boy clothes. My characteristics change. Yeah. So I'm not saying that they could have changed my mind on the lifestyle that I chose to live.
Yeah.
But I think it would have made my lifestyle shorter.
Mm.
I think it would have made it shorter because I would have had some godly seeds planted in me that may not have worked immediately, but I'm sure they would have grown over time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No one said anything. They just ignored it and just wanted to be in good grace with the tomboy,
yeah.
the girl that acts like
yeah,
a boy.
Yeah,
and so I think we just ignore because we don't have the proper
and you know what,
approach.
Man, and as a parent, you know, we get to that place where we don't want to admit that we're seeing things in our children that needs to be addressed.
Right.
So we just allow them to grow.
But you'll hear it. You'll hear them say, oh, that girl is too rough. She might be a little too boyish.
Yeah.
Or you'll hear, oh, he's too soft.
Yeah.
Those little things, they may need some adjustments here and there, but you don't say that to the child, like, stop acting like a girl, stop acting like a boy. As a parent, being a steward over this child,
you
adjust them without them knowing,
you
know, and make the child feel like a boy.
So what I'm hearing you say is that our parenting must be intentional.
Yes, because everyone sees it in their child, especially as a young child. I hear parents say it all the time. I knew he was going to be gay when he grew up.
Yeah.
And it's like, when did you know that? Yeah. Oh, because he did something in second or third grade. That's when you should have started correcting it. It's not that you could have changed his mind because the emotion, he may have felt the emotion.
Sure.
But some of these children, they are just operating in what they like. I like basketball, not because I wanted to be a boy, but I just love sports.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind getting dirty. I didn't mind rolling around in mud and getting dirty. I didn't care for nails or makeup or Barbie dolls. I wanted monster trucks. So it's like, you know, I wasn't thinking about being a boy, but it did put me in company with other boys. So of course I'm learning from them instead of other women. I'm gravitating towards them, which a parent, there's a way you can navigate through that and balance it out. You don't have to take away my sports, but you do have to watch me to make sure I'm not trying to become the people that I'm actually interacting with, you know. And so for me, I didn't care about,
you know, parenting has become such a complicated thing. But you know, when my mom,
it's always been that way.
No, my mom had one way of dealing with anything. You know, she was going to get it out of you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That was the antidote. Between that and prayer, you ain't standing a chance. But I'm looking at all these things that we're talking about now, and you know, I was with the young parents yesterday. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the world that they're bringing these children into, parenting has to be intentional.
Oh, very intentional.
And it's got to be spiritually intentional. In other words, you know, we have to know what God's values are.
Yes.
For ourselves. Because that's probably the issue.
Yes,
is that we don't know what God's values are for ourselves.
You got it.
We've learned the traditions of church.
Right.
But do we know what God says? You know, some of the scriptures I heard you quote in one of the things you had online that you sent me to look at for the other interview. I think, Tony, you sent it to me. You know, some of the scriptures you were quoting were almost new to me. I've seen them, but based upon your story, they came alive. And I think parents are very unaware of how direct the Bible
speaks. It says it, that the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing through bone and marrow. It judges the heart and mind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, we may not know what to do in the natural, but when you get in the word, he will show you how to operate with this child, how to challenge this child, how to correct them. Like, even with parents dealing with kids that have identity issues, there is a way to understand them and raise them in a safe environment. Like, I'll tell parents, you can't punish your child for having a same-sex attraction.
No, you can't.
You can't. How are you going to lock them in the room?
Yeah.
That's not a punishment, you know?
No.
But there are parents that were punishing their children for telling them they have a same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't control what they do at school, but your house can be a safe place.
Yes.
Your home can be a place where they will serve the Lord, you know, according to your rules and what you have at home. And so there is a way to do it. Like a lot of men that I was able to talk to, you know, sons who came out are as they were younger and they began to start a bond with their sons, and they realized their sons weren't into like the rough and tumble play that's in a boy's nature, football. And so the dad didn't know how to interact with his son because he only knew how to do that through football and sports and monster trucks. So when his son would cry or get hurt or was very fragile, the dad kind of pulled away instead of encouraging him that his identity is not found in things that he like, and he's still a man, he's still a boy at this young age, but the dad pulls away and the son gravitates more towards the mom, right? Mm-hmm. And so the mom is more comforting, the mom is more nurturing, and so the son begins to pick up on all those emotions from the woman, and now masculinity becomes a different territory, a foreign territory. He's scared of that because what he likes, his dad doesn't like. And so the dad is putting something in the son where, oh, you're too soft, when really, I just don't like sports, Dad. I like to wear floral colors. I like to dress nice. I don't want my nails dirty. I like to cheerlead. You know, that doesn't define my identity. But when the dad pulls away, it makes the son feel, I don't see myself in my dad's eyes. I don't see my masculinity in my dad, so there got to be something wrong with me.
So, something as subtle as maybe a rejection from dad, and I say subtle, but it's actually massive, a rejection from dad could point that child into not wanting to be like dad, but wanting to be like mom. And develops the characteristics.
Because they become scared of masculinity because they feel that masculinity is only done through the things that their father sees as masculine, as far as, you know, the nature, rough and tumble play, football, and getting dirty. But when my son is crying in the corner, when my son doesn't want to wrestle, you're soft, you're too weak. And the son is thinking, well, I may not be a boy. Like, I may be a girl because I act everything I like, girls like. And so the son will sit back and see how the dad interacts with him as a person. And like the son could do something that's masculine to the dad. And the dad will praise him for it. But the son can say something like, hey, dad, I got the leading role into this play. And the dad will just stay silent and won't congratulate him, won't say anything to him as long as it has to do with something that he deems as soft. And that defines the boy's identity because he doesn't know who he is at the time. So he's looking at his father to confirm his masculinity and his identity. And then the mom is soft. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. You can do that. You can do that. When you need both balance, you need the dad letting the son know it's okay to be a cheerleader if that's what you want to do, but we have to navigate this and prepare you that you're going to be amongst more women than men, you know, and these are the conversations that you might run across. But if the son sees himself in his dad, it makes it a whole lot easier for someone. It makes it a whole lot harder for someone else to influence him in what he's doing and tell him that he's gay. Or that they think he's gay.
Sharon is saying, sharing the sharing the link here in Nottingham. Thank you for coming over, Taisha. Thanks for your host family. She means Tony.
The Davis.
Well, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. Thank you. Oh, this, see, this is important. This song right here. Thank you, Ray Patrick. See, that's right. That's right. She got this. thank you, Jesus. And she's got exclamation mark. Thanks, Mark and Paul. Oh, hold on, hold on, hold on. Now we're going too far. We're going way too far with the Mark and Paul situation. for the red card.
Did they say that?
For the red card.
We got it.
You see, man, listen, you guys, you know, they paint me as a villain here. I don't know why.
You painted yourself that way.
I think so. Man, I think that's what happened.
No, the problem is, you know, people say I paint myself too much as a good person.
Yeah, I like that. You're an artist.
Now, Tony D, you know, I told you we grew up together. So he needs to treat me much better than he's treating me right now. As a matter of fact, and what people don't know is, and I got to say this publicly, is that we need to thank Tony D for this interview and for allowing you to be here. And the reason I say that is because whenever he gets anyone that he feels would bless us, he doesn't hesitate to share.
Wow.
And you know, I don't like to say publicly because, you know, Tony's a tough guy. But he corrects us every day on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we say something wrong, he the first
to say. Oh, I love
message.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He message. But no, thank you so much, Doc.
Thank you. Yes.
Well, I should thank your wife because, yes. Because Judith is you know, now you met Judith.
Powerhouse. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's now, my girl.
I know she's listening, so I need to behave with what I'm about to say. But she's the only woman on this planet that can corner me in a position where,
and I believe it,
and I feel like I can't fight back. I can't.
I believe it. Yeah.
I mean, even my mom will struggle with that.
I believe
but
it.
That lady right there, I'm telling you, man. But you know what she is, Tony? Do you remember when I did a funeral for her, her colleague.
Yeah.
At work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, who is it that goes to work, shares their faith on that level, whereby someone passes away and they want the pastor from your church to come and do the funeral?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was a big thing. I went in there and the place was packed with people. And I mean, they said, what a witness.
Yes, you she know? Is direct. I
and
love
I was
it.
Like, wow.
We have. Seriously, you're
speaking
right.
To that mic.
Okay, you're absolutely right there. Judith has this talent to be able to talk to anybody about anything, and it's a gift. It's a talent.
100%.
Yeah. Yes.
Judith, even though she will say that she, as long as there's a child there, she can interact with the child so much more easier. But give Judith her credit. Her gift, her talent is I can address and speak to anyone.
And I believe it.
And as I said, it doesn't make any difference what the topic is.
Yeah.
But the beauty of it is as well, because she's got God with her doing there's an impact.
Yeah, she's like a community pastor.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. There you because go. The things that she's called me to do for the community, And it's interesting because I know Tony. I didn't know her. You know, and out of knowing Tony is how I got to know her. But you would have thought, man, that I've known her all my life. Because she'll pick up the phone in a minute. and okay, you can't say no.
Yeah. I believe it.
So
I believe it.
We want to bless those two publicly. Yeah. I have a question that came up, and I'll ask you that after this. But let's talk about your conversion. This is where I believe we need to direct the folk. Is how did God make that? You we're not blaming God. You were just suggesting that God made you that way,
right?
So how did God cut through that, and you become the Christian that you are today?
Well, I went to church as a joke.
Okay.
With a friend, and I went to church dressed like a boy.
Now, you see, you're going to turn off all of our listeners that have a whole lot of sin. They won't go to church with their friends as a joke.
Well, I went as a joke, you know, because she said the pastor was a comedian, and so I went as a joke, but I also went.
A comedian. You ever met a pastor as a comedian?
He really was.
Every day.
He really was a comedian.
5 days a week.
And so, but I also went with the intent that if anyone says something about the way I look, that I was going to curse the pastor out or curse anyone out. And so just to give you the short version, what started my conversion was when I walked into the church, he actually called me out in front of everyone. And
Hold on, stop. What do you mean he called you out?
He called me out. So a friend of mine, we went up to get prayer because a lady in the back of the church was telling us that we are women and God created us to be women and that we need to walk like women and dress like women.
Okay.
And so in order for us to get away from her, a friend of mine said, let's just go to the altar and get prayer. So as they were praying for me, the guy that was praying for me thought I was a real boy. So he was praying for me as if I was a boy.
Have mercy.
So I stopped listening to the prayer. But as I was walking back to my seat, the pastor of the church, and this was at the time a 6,000 member church. It was not a small church. And so he says, hey, you come here. And I said, I thought he was talking to my friend. So I pushed her towards the front. He said, no, you come here. Mm. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm new here. This is my
first time coming to this church. No, it was my second time. I said, he's going to tell me what I know everybody else is thinking. Why did you come to church dressed like this? You know it's a sin. You know this is wrong. Why are you coming into this house like this? And I was ready to curse him out. But he did something that I didn't prepare myself to handle. Mm-hmm. You know, he hugged me.
Wow.
I prepared for the loud whispers, the long stares, you know, the kids maybe giving me double takes or someone whispering something, a nasty slur. I prepared for that, but I didn't prepare for love.
Yeah.
And so when he hugged me, it disarmed me. And I had no idea that what I felt in his arms was the love of Christ. I didn't know that. Mm. And so he looked at me. He didn't say anything about my clothes. He just said, wow, you're a beautiful little girl. Do you know that you're a beautiful little girl?
Wow.
And I don't know. I didn't care what he said at the moment. I just never received a hug from a man. I never received love from a man. I was so afraid of men because I didn't understand them. I wouldn't let them get close enough to touch me. Mm. And so when he hugged me, I melted. And so everything he asked me, I didn't know what to say, but yes, sir, because I felt love. I felt secure. I felt, and in that moment, I believe that's when the Holy Spirit really just comforted me in that moment. Because after that, a year and a half back into the lifestyle, I didn't see myself the way I used to see myself. The relationships that I was in, they weren't as comforting to me as they were. I was trying to recreate what I felt in his arms with every woman that I was with within that year and a half. And then I went to jail because I had a fight at a nightclub. I went to jail, and in jail, I met a court supervisor who kept pulling me out of my jail cell. And
so that
he would
was
say,
after the pastor, you met the
after
pastor?
The pastor. Yes. Yeah. I went back into the lifestyle for a year and a half.
Okay.
I went to jail, and this was my last time. No, I went to jail like three times, maybe three or four times in that year and a half. But the last time I went to jail, the court supervisor began to share with me about Jesus. He began to talk to me about the word of God, and he would pull me out of my cell and say, I can get fired for this, but the Lord told me I need to share this with you. And he would ask me lots of questions. But the last thing he left me with, he was like, if you're a believer and you're living this lifestyle, you're just afraid to step out on faith.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what faith was. I was only taught to believe. And we all know that even demons believe and tremble at the sound of his voice. So believing is not enough.
Come on.
So when he said step out on faith, I grew angry because I didn't understand what faith was.
Right.
And so when I got out of jail, I was due to be married to a woman in like 2 months. And during that time, I was very abusive to her and her kids. I grew very angry because now this anger wasn't so much towards me trying to figure out the trauma and abuse I dealt with as a kid, and also the same sex relationships that I'm dealing with now. I think mentally, my mind was trying to figure out, what did I experience in his arms, and how can I get back to that? Because I got to a place where I was so angry, I wanted to murder her and her children.
Wow.
And I would abuse her so much to where I thought I was going to kill her. And I was more afraid of jail than Jesus at that time. I didn't want to go to jail for murder. And so I had an encounter with the Lord.
Wow.
A very strong, powerful encounter that no one could have ever prepared me for. And he told me, if you don't leave this lifestyle, you're going to kill yourself.
Wow.
And I'm in a closet by myself, because every time I would grow really angry to try to kind of confine myself, I would hide under beds. I would hide in closets or in cabinets. I would kind of lock myself away to kind of, control my anger. And this time I was in the closet for 3 weeks, for 3 days. And when the Lord said that to me, I said, this has to be the Jesus that everybody's telling me about, because I'm in this house by myself. There's nobody around me. So I remember I told God, I said, if you're real, you better show me. I didn't know how to talk to God.
Yeah.
So I said, you better show me who you are, because if you don't show me, I'm going to come back to this lifestyle. Because in my mind, I thought, I learned this lifestyle. I know how to get women. All I have to do is find an insecure girl who doesn't know who she is and doesn't know her worth, and I'll make her believe that I know who she is, and I can give her the confidence that she doesn't have by herself.
See, just stop for a minute. We gotta make a point here. All I have to do is find an insecure girl who's by herself.
Correct.
And doesn't know who she is.
Correct.
That right there. And if you're listening to this, guys, you don't need to listen to this. Okay? That is why your daughters has got to be taught, and your sons, security.
Because one thing about same sex, I share a lot of your same traits. I share a lot of your same emotions, a lot of your instincts. Right. So I can read you and understand you and manipulate you way better than a man can.
See?
I told myself, God, if you're not real, I can come back to this because I know it too well.
Yeah.
This is easy to pick back up. So I remember getting out of the closet and I told the young lady that I was with and her two brothers. And I said, I think I just gave my life to Jesus. I'm leaving. Mm. And I left. I left. And I said, I'm going to give the word a real shot. I didn't know anything about the Lord. I didn't know anything, but I would always hear believers say, you got to read the word. You have to read the word.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, God, I'm going to read your word. I'm going to read it. And I'm going to stop doing the things that I think you wouldn't approve of. So I stopped drinking, smoking, taking drugs. I stopped doing all these. So I said, I'm going to give you a fair shot.
Yeah.
And I read the word. And I didn't only read the word to understand God's love. I also read it to understand the tricks of the enemy.
Right.
And I also applied everything I read. I said, I'm going to give you a fair shot. I applied everything that I read. And it's, I didn't even have to change myself. The more and more I read the word, it began to change me.
Yeah.
It enabled me to say no to things that I wanted still. It enabled me to understand that that's what faith is. Faith is believing in what God said and acting like you believe him.
Hallelujah.
And so, but during my ride home, so during my ride home from, because I was in Houston, going back to Dallas, Texas, I ran across, I had a flat tire.
Okay.
And this is right after the closet moment. I left immediately because I said, nobody knows what happened in that closet.
Right.
And if that was Jesus speaking to me, I need to understand this because it was scary for me. And so as I'm driving down the road, I get a flat tire. A van pulls up and a few guys jump out. And I thought I was going to have to fight them. But more people jumps out and they say, hey, God told us to wake up and help the first person we see in need. And I was like, here go this God name again. So I'm like, they're talking with me. The men are changing my tires. And then they all prayed for me. And as they were praying for me, that same feeling, that voice said, if you continue to follow me, I will take you places you can't imagine or dream about.
Hallelujah.
And I said, I know this is him, but I don't know him. So I went home to my mom's house. I sent a massive text to everybody in my phone. I said, I don't know who Jesus is, but I think he's trying to get my attention. And until I figure this out, I need no distractions.
Yeah.
And I threw the phone away. I never spoke to anybody. And I, for 6 months, I just read the Bible. I read the Bible. But I still was dressing like a boy.
Yeah.
I stopped doing everything else. And my reason for dressing like a boy, it wasn't so much had to do with homosexuality. It was because I didn't want men to see my shape. I didn't want men to see my figure because I didn't know how to respond or react if a guy hit on me.
Right.
So I wanted to hide my femininity because I didn't know how to protect it. And so I remember telling God, I'll wear boy clothes in pretty colors. I won't sag. I'll tuck in my shirt, but I don't want to wear girl clothes. Please don't make me wear girl clothes. And he led me to Deuteronomy 22:5. And when I read that scripture, I had to understand this is what faith means. You know, you can't pick and choose what you want to do
Come
when
on.
It comes to the Lord.
Come
you have
on.
To read the word and abide by what the gospel is saying. And so I felt like if I'm going to really follow Christ, I need to follow everything. And so what I did, I put myself in a position where I didn't have a choice to wear boy clothes. I got all my boy clothes and packed them and I gave it away to a family. And I went to a thrift store and I bought three women's clothing. When I put on girl clothing for the first time, the first miracle I ever experienced in my life was me.
Wow.
When I looked at myself in the mirror, I could cry right now.
Come on.
When I looked at myself in the mirror, when I put on these women clothes, because mind you, I was dressing like a boy since kindergarten. My mom would only make me wear a dress if I had picture day.
Yeah.
So I was always dressing like a boy. So when I saw myself in women's clothing, the person that I had been searching for all this time, battling in homosexuality and all the trauma, I was searching for me.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was just trying to protect that little girl that I didn't know who to trust with her.
Yeah.
And so when I saw myself my clothes became my armor of protection and just a reminder of his goodness. Mm. And when I put on those clothes, there was no stopping me then.
Yeah.
There was no stopping me. And I just continued. Hallelujah. You know, then he act. Then the Lord said, okay, now it's time to go to church. You got your foundation. I let you spend time with me. I revealed myself to you. Now it's time to go to church. And he led me back to that church. And one of the most amazing things happened. The root of my struggle that triggered me to open the door to that closet of homosexuality was my dad not being a part of my life. Mm-hmm. That really stripped me from my identity because I knew I was a daddy's girl, but I had no daddy to be a daddy's girl with.
Right.
But I knew I was a daddy's girl. And so when I went back to that church, the pastor and his wife asked me, "Where is your father?" And I didn't even deal with that myself yet.
Right.
So they asked me, "Will you be my daughter?"
Wow.
And they became what they call spiritual parents.
Yeah.
And I was able to experience a season where I had a father and a mother that nurtured me, cared for me, was there for me, protected me. And so everything that I experienced as a child, it's like God gave it back in certain seasons for me to experience it the best way I could at the age I am now. Mm-hmm. And so I owe it all to the Lord. There's nothing that I did because I wasn't searching for Jesus. I wasn't reading the word. I wasn't going to church. I was about to be married. I didn't care about the gospel. I didn't know anything about the word outside of just believe and pray.
Yes.
And so whatever he did with me, like the word says in John 3:8, we hear the wind blow, we feel it, but we don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So is someone born again. And I just, it still blows my mind that he decided to visit me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so
hallelujah.
The love and security that I felt in his presence. It trumped everything that I was feeling or going through. And for the first year and a half, it was a very tormenting struggle for my flesh.
Yeah.
And I say my flesh because we're not supposed to live by the flesh.
Exactly.
You know, we're supposed to walk in the spirit.
Exactly.
And my flesh, as I was learning to apply scripture to my life, my flesh still wanted to date women.
100%.
My eyes still were attracted to 100%. Women. I still had a desire. I still wanted to do those same things. Mm-hmm. It was, and I don't say this much, but it even got to the point where I had to take showers in the dark because my own body became attracted to myself because I didn't see my body as woman when I was in the lifestyle. But when God started to cleanse me up and I began to see myself, I was afraid of my own body because it reminded me of women that I was with.
Yeah,
and so that was a thing that I had to go through. I spent a year and a half crying.
Mm, Lord have mercy.
Crying. But I read in the Bible where it talks about those who suffer in the body is dead to sin. So I read about the suffering.
Yes, yes.
So I said, okay, Lord, not only do we have your joy and we're basking in your love, but we also have to learn to suffer and carry our cross. And so I said, okay, Lord, help me to understand how to carry my cross because I don't want to complain about my cross. I don't want it to become a burden. So I read the word and applied the appropriate scriptures in order to help me. You know, where he says, my power is made perfect in weakness.
Yes.
So anytime I got weak, I read my word and I let the word override everything that I was thinking and feeling. And I stayed obedient because I wanted to really experience what I read in the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm like, this stuff is amazing what they experienced. Yeah. I'm like, I want to experience some of this. And so I said, not that we are awarded by our works or that God looks at our works. But I just said, I want to strive to my life to become a sacrifice to where my worship is my obedience to you. Yeah. I just want to please you because I always think, why me?
Yeah.
Like the love you showed me and how you really revealed yourself to me because no one was there. I didn't have a pastor or a preacher or even when I went back to my mom's house, everyone was drinking and smoking and cursing and, you know, fighting. And I had to stay in my room and just Bible. And I just read and I applied it and I read and I applied it until it became a part of my life. And I haven't looked back.
Wow.
I have not looked back.
Wow.
I have not looked back. And I owe it all to him. I could take no credit for it because I didn't ask for it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one thing I like what you're saying, man, is the word.
The word.
You know, it brings change. You know, sometimes we try to change ourselves.
We can't.
But when we look at the word and we apply the word,
yes,
it brings change. You know, and I think that's key for anyone listening out there. That is a takeaway for me. The word. Then the other thing is a takeaway for me is that conversion is a process.
Yes,
it's not always an event. Yes, and so you talk about going to the church and the pastor, and I love what you said. You went there armed and prepared.
Oh yeah,
with all of the stuff to cuss the people out.
Oh yeah,
but you wasn't prepared for love.
Yeah,
and that's what the pastor showed you. And I think if ever there's a lesson that we need to take away for our churches, for our pastoral ministries, for all of these things, is love is what makes a difference. Not the hardcore, yep. You know, good morning, mom, mommy generation.
Because I was a little girl. Yeah. I was still a little girl. Yeah. I was a baby girl.
Yeah.
I just looked like a man. Yeah. I'm still a woman.
100%.
I have a desire to be held and comforted by a man.
Yeah.
But if I'm afraid of men, I don't know how to receive that.
Yeah,
I love how you said it's a process.
Yeah, it's a process.
Because a lot of people thought my process was done just because I looked finished.
Yes.
And no, I chose to wear women's clothing, but it didn't mean that I still didn't have same-sex attraction and desires. And I love that you said that, because a lot of times people will look at a person and say, oh, well, it looks like it's easy for you. Mm. No, it's still a process.
Listen, oh. I tell people all the time, and I've had my fair share of addiction and everything, but I tell people all the time, it's a moment by moment, day by day. And just because you've been convicted and converted doesn't mean that you don't have the tendencies or you're not struggling with those tendencies. All it means is that you surrendered to God.
Right.
And the surrendering to God now gives you, hallelujah, I want to say a coping mechanism.
There you go. I like it.
Somebody that you can go to. When you know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 lets us know that all temptations are common to
there
man.
There you go.
You know, but God is faithful.
Always a way out.
And he will make a way of escape for you. And so that's where we go.
Yeah.
That's where we go. This is deep stuff.
Yeah, and he did. Stuff. He did take away my same-sex attraction. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask for it because I didn't know how to ask for it, because I thought it was just a natural feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Even in my salvation, I didn't know how to ask for it. I just said, this is something I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so he did take that away. But as far as like me, I used to be mean really well.
Mm-hmm.
So like I have to be careful when I have an opportunity to be mean because I want to be mean because I know how to do it well. So that's why I'm like, Lord, help me. But as far as same-sex attraction, that's not an issue for me anymore. But I do get to communicate with people that have been out of the lifestyle way longer than myself for 24 years, 32 years, and they still have a same-sex attraction. And I'm like, I know the year and a half that was a struggle for me. And it's a process. And that was excruciating pain that I went through having that same-sex attraction and in the Lord.
You know what's interesting is that we have this idea that when you go to jail, you become more gay than you've ever been, whether you're man or woman. You're going, you know, but it sounds to me like God took you out of the church situation, allowed you to go to jail. I don't know. That seems to me like a massive test of you know, whether you're true or whether you want to know or want to change. And you come out of that and then your conversion experience continues, as opposed to dipping and going back into the lifestyle and forgetting the God that you met in the church through the preacher. And I just find that so fascinating that you went to jail, the place where everyone thinks everyone is gay.
And I know the jails in Texas, it wasn't gay in jail. Like, it was just, you were surrounded by the same gender, but it wasn't like it was less gay people than it was heterosexual people. Right. Like, you know, it wasn't just like the gay place, but of course, you're around women who are emotional creatures and who are curious. And so a lot of people that practice homosexuality are not in a stronghold. Mm. They are just entertained by the lifestyle, but they get mixed up in the crowd of the LGBTQ community. That's why there's so many genders and so many letters, because a lot of people don't represent the same thing. I had a stronghold. The lifestyle defined me. I wasn't entertained by it.
Right.
I was entertaining to other people that didn't have strongholds, you know. And so it's different. It's different for everyone.
The question that I have to ask you is a question that was asked to me of a student. Okay. And is being bisexual gay?
I mean, homosexuality is categorized if you are intimate in a relationship, sexually intimate with someone of the same gender. Mm-hmm. So it's not even about the people or the relationship. It's about your interaction with the person that puts you in that category.
Okay.
You know, so, but that's just like sexual sin.
Right.
You know, in a heterosexual relationship, it says, are you sinning against yourself outside of marriage?
Right.
So it's like, it's sin.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
The bottom
you don't have to try to put it in a category.
Yeah.
It's it doesn't have to say it's gay. It's sin.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
Yeah, and I like that, because my response to her was, let's tackle the sin and let's not try to make it sound better.
Yeah.
Because to her, being bisexual was easier to understand or to accept than being homosexual.
Right.
But to me, they're all the same, Bridget. Yep. Sin is sin.
Sin is sin.
Sin is sin. And I'm glad the way you answered it. Amazing testimony. Just a hug from the pastor. Come on now. Initiate the process of your spiritual journey. There's a lesson here for the church folk. Let's see what he says. He says, and that which you kept away from girls' clothes became your armor.
Yes.
Protection.
My physical armor.
Praise God. Praise God. And that's from Morris Wright. Morris, good morning to you. Thanks for locking in with us here on Adventist Radio London. Someone dropped the mic here. Love is what, makes
that's
the
it.
Difference. Hey, they put microphone dropping on Instagram. Wow, wonderful. Blessed apparel. Judith D joined us. Is she related to you, Ma, on Instagram? Patrick White, he's our regular policeman. Good morning, Patrick. How you doing? How you doing, Doc? And to all the others, I just want to make sure I didn't miss any comments. Thank you for locking in with us this morning and being a part of our dialogue. So let's get to, we're out of time, so we need to talk a little bit about your merchandise. I hate to call it merchandise because it's ministry. It's healing.
It's my least favorite part.
But it's a necessity because I tell you why. I can't find material. I can, but the material that is what we're talking about. A lot of it, for example, I've got this thing that I use for children. And it's called Children That's Into Pornography. And these are these are under grade 6.
Yeah.
So here, that's what? That's 10? That's 10, right?
11 down there.
Yeah. So, and it's called Bad Pictures, Good Pictures.
Oh, nice.
And so I don't have to talk to them about the body, for example.
Yeah.
I just have to talk to them about what is bad and what is good.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And I found that resource from a young man who is not a mainstream author, all that kind of stuff, similar to you, has an experience in pornography, but he was able to put in words
what
he was
feeling,
bad pictures, good pictures. And I would recommend that resource to anyone who's got a child of that age, even if they're not struggling in pornography.
Right.
It's a good prevention tool. I'm saying that to say
them.
That we need to hear, because you've had first-hand experience. It's not a theory or an ideology.
Right.
So talk to us about what you have and how we can benefit from it.
So we'll start with the children's book. The children's book, Bunky Smackers and Craven K, God's Image and Four Armor. It basically teaches your children how to view their identity as a gift from God and how to wear the four armor of God in order to protect their identity from a world that says they can choose it from a false collection of identities.
Okay, so give us the name again.
Bunky Smackers and Craven K, God's Image and Four Armor. And we will post my website and all the information on my website, including a podcast and a video. Mm-hmm. We also have The Way Out. This is a great book to help you with your approach. It has 50 questions with about a paragraph or two answering the questions, but it leaves so much room for you to interact with the person in your life, whether it's at your job, your child, or even a friend or family member that's struggling, how to have the proper approach and response to the person, and also be on guard and understanding that the person is not a bad person, but they are operating and influenced by an unclean spirit. And you have to understand when you're talking to the person and when you're talking to the unclean spirit, because those are two different people. And if we're not careful, we will interact with the unclean spirit as if it's our friend or family member, and that will bring them justification and it will bring them false affirmation if we're not careful on understanding the difference between the two. And so this really helps you with your approach on how to understand what you're up against.
And it's called The Way Out.
The Way Out, yes. And then Nothing Gay About Being Gay, which is my baby, my first book. This really helps you with any stronghold. If you're dealing with anything and you develop some unhealthy way of thinking, it takes you on a journey of your own life and helps you really understand where you picked up those habits and how they became triggers and turned into strongholds. It also helps you understand the mental torment that one goes through that is battling with homosexuality. And there are some things in this book for mature readers only. It's very uncut and raw. And so I don't suggest you allow your teenager to read it unless you read it first, because it could introduce them to some things that maybe they haven't experienced yet. But it really takes you into the very demonic nature within the LGBTQ community that is not spoke about with advocates and not shown on television. It really takes you into that world, which you can't see from the outside looking in. And so, like I said, we will post my website.
Yeah.
On the chat, and it gives you access to all those books. And also on the website, you can read the first chapter of each book for free.
Mm-hmm. So just tell us what the website is before we have to.
So it's TyeshaHolt.com. That is TyeshaHolt.com.
Good. And any handles on Insta or anything?
At Taisha Holt.
Taisha
Holt. I'm just now getting active on social media again, so y'all be my friend. And if you ask questions, I try not to leave a question unanswered. So ask questions, whether you message me or ask directly on Facebook or even through my website. I will answer your questions.
Okay, great. I like it. I like it.